Good afternoon, everyone. In 1979, hockey coach Herb Brooks, who worked at the University of Minnesota for a number of years, he was chosen to prepare the American hockey team for the 1980 World Olympic Games in Lake Placid, New York. So they had called together hundreds of hockey players from all over the United States, the best players from hockey teams throughout USA, and all of these young men were hoping to be on the team that would go to the Olympics. Coach Herb Brooks was given the opportunity to choose, and he chose 26 men, out of which 20 would go on after he would train them for 7 months. That's all the time he had. But after he chose these 26, he was strongly criticized for his choices because he did not choose the best players. He did not choose players that came from winning teams. When he was asked this question, his response was, "I'm looking for the right players. I've studied these men, and I know what they can do." The U.S. had at that time not won gold in hockey since 1960, 20 years. And the Russian team was unbeatable. Out of the last 42 games that they had played, they had won 42. So everyone was intimidated by their power and their force. The average player on the Russian team was 35 years old, and they played together for 15 years. Coach Brooks now had a young team. They averaged 21 years old. Undisciplined. They came from rival teams. Some had a little animosity between each other. But each had various talents and gifts, but they lacked the training. And Coach Herb Brooks told them, "You cannot win by individual talent. This must be a team effort. You cannot be common men. Forget your personal conflicts and your selfish interests," which he saw in them as they were going through their practice and they played a few games. He saw their weaknesses, but he also knew their strengths. And he told them that you are going to be the most physically fit team ever, because that's the only way he knew that the Russians could be beat. And he drove them hard till they finally came to realize. He used to ask them time after time, "Who are you playing for?" And they would mention their old team. He'd keep asking and asking them. He drove them one time so hard they went back and forth and back and forth skating till some were even exhausted and dropping. And finally, he said, "Who are you playing for?" One of the young men said, "The United States of America." He said, "Okay, practice is over." And they went on to the team. And he told them the few words that he gave them before they started. He told them, "You must not just dream of winning this game, but you must believe. Tonight," he told them, "we are the greatest hockey team in the world. Tonight, we're going to shut them down." The final score that year, 1980, the Olympic Games, was 4-3 USA. They had defeated the Russians. Coach Brooks was asked by a reporter, "What was the best moment that you had during all this happening?" He said, "Seeing 20 men become one." Why are we here? Let's turn to the Gospel of John. John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, will begin in verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Mr. Herbert Armstrong often, as you recall, often mentioned that, you know, no man can come to the Father, to God, that he has to draw us. He personally calls us. So we can see there's some analogies between the hockey team. They were chosen. They were called, which means simply invited. And Jesus Christ also made very clear that he said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." The Greek word for chosen means to select. but to pick out. The Apostle John here records the words that Jesus Christ said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you." He picked us and ordained. The Greek meaning there is an appointment to any form of service. Let's take a look at what some of those form. If you want to hold your place, we're going to come back to John 15. But let's just go over for a minute to 1 Corinthians 12. We were chosen, we were ordained to various jobs, positions, opportunities. 12th chapter, talking about the body, the team. Let's read verse 18. "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him." You have human beings like those that saw what Coach Brooks did. They didn't approve of it. And people would say, "Well, you know, God, why did you call that person or that person?" Well, God knows us. He knows our potential. And so he knows why he chose, who he chose, and when he chose them. Let's just start with verse 18. "But God had set every one of them in the body as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would be the body?" You wouldn't have a team. You need a team. Verse 20. "But now are they many members, but yet one body." In the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." What a wonderful calling it is that we can be a part of such a team. Back to John 15, verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Why? "That you should go and bring forth fruit." Bring forth fruit? What kind of fruit should we bring forth? Hold your place there. We go back again to Galatians, the 5th chapter. What kind of fruit do God's people bear? Fruit that we are to bear, Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit," God's Holy Spirit, that is given to us upon repentance, baptism, receiving God's Holy Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And the word here, of course, is agape, the very love of God, that total commitment. Just like a hockey player had to become wholly committed, we as God's people, God's church, we too have to become wholly committed and can. And with that commitment then comes the fruit of joy. And what joy all of us have had when we come to understand and follow God's way of life. Peace. Peace results. We're not frustrated when we see the events in the world. Everything seeming to go awry and contrary to the way it ought to be. But we see that there will be troubles and trials, but peace will come. And long-suffering or patience is another one of the fruits that we are to bear. I think all of us have had experience of that, how to be patient. And gentleness. We learn gentleness as we go from day to day, how to deal with people, how to help others through gentleness and goodness, having that respect and consideration for others. And faith, another fruit. The very faith of Jesus Christ is the indication here that it is Christ's faith that is in us. Meekness, being teachable like a child, open to the ideas and the truths of God. Temperance, balance, having self-discipline, just like any team, whether it's a work team or a sports team or a church group. Self-discipline is so necessary for everything to work together. Let's turn back to John 15. Verse 16, "For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." And how wonderful it is that we can bring forth that fruit. "And that your fruit should remain." And that your fruit should remain. How is it possible for that fruit to remain? Well, as we learn God's law more fully and as we go to God in prayer and Bible study, meditation and fellowshipping one with another, that fruit becomes habit and becomes natural to us. We're going to have the opportunity to taste what the world tomorrow will be like. We're training. We're learning how to teach others. They will learn the same things that we do. But we can learn how to express outgoing concern for one another, love for one another, joy. We can have joy together, laugh together, and we can share that joy and think about the wonderful peace that is going to come. John 15, verse 16, but that your fruit should remain. How is that possible? John 15, let's begin at verse 1. How can this fruit remain? I am the true vine, verse 1. I am the true vine, Jesus Christ, and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth. You know, we get little spankings here and there and little bruises, and we learn. And then we become more productive, that we should bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God in his mercy, as we meekly listen to him and learn and are taught, he forgives us our sins and transgressions. And then verse 4, abide in me, if we keep his commandments, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. How clear are Jesus Christ's words? That is how our fruits can remain if we remain close to him. Through prayer, through Bible study, meditation, fasting occasionally, and fellowshipping. Let's get to the last part of verse 16. That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That is why we should bear fruit, and the fruit should remain, so that whatever we ask of the Father in Jesus Christ's name, he may give it to us. What a wonderful feeling that is, that we can go to God with full confidence, like the Apostle Paul said, that we are laborers together with God. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let's turn to the Old Testament, to the 50th chapter of Isaiah. We're a small group, God's chosen. We have a wonderful opportunity to fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and then we can fellowship with one another. And think about all, talk about all the sermons, the sermonettes, and the things we learned or things we experienced in the past. And what a wonderful opportunity this is. Chapter 50 in Isaiah, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. So each and every one of us on God's team, he will be there to help us. Just like physical teams, they do the best they can. They do it for a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible crown. For the Lord God will help me, each and every one of us. Therefore, I will not be confounded. There's no reason for us to be discouraged. We are human, and we do from time to time become discouraged. But we have friends, we're family, and we can help one another, encourage one another. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, like a hard rock. You know, flint, they used to use that for arrowheads, and we can become rock solid. Built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, we can become like him. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. We know, just like Coach Brooks told the team, he said, tonight is your night. Tonight you're the greatest hockey players in the world. And they believed it. And they went out there like these little Davids going against this Goliath. And they were able to defeat them. And we too are able to go against, as Mr. Bryce recently covered, about Satan and the wiles of Satan the devil and how he comes after us, knowing and understanding those things. And with Jesus Christ on our side, we can. We need not fear. I know that I shall not be ashamed. We will not be ashamed. Christ will never drop us out of his hand. Verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. That's when we're close to him. He will be close to us. Who will contend with me? Well, they may contend with us, but they cannot be victorious over us. That's impossible, because he that is with us is greater than he that is with them, with the world. Let us stand together. There's our command. Let us stand together. We have our part on this team. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Well, we have the adversary of Satan, the devil, the demons. We have the world, this present evil world, and we have our own nature. That's our adversary. Verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. There's our answer. The Lord God will help us in every trouble, in every trial, in every difficulty we face. So, brethren, why are we here? We are here because we were chosen to become one. One team to accomplish the great work that God has given us. That is why we are here.